The reading is found on page 1119 in the Pew Bibles. And it's from Colossians chapter 4, and I'm starting at verse 2. Devote yourselves to prayer, being watchful and thankful. And pray for us too, that God may open a door for our message, so that we may proclaim the mystery of Christ, for which I am in chains. Pray that I may proclaim it clearly, as I should. Be wise in the way you act towards outsiders. Make the most of every opportunity. Let your conversation be always full of grace, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how to answer anyone. Tychicus will tell you all the news about me. He is a dear brother, a faithful minister, and fellow servant in the Lord. I am sending him to you for the express purpose that you may know about our circumstances and that he may encourage your hearts. He is coming with Onesimus, our faithful and dear brother, who is one of you. They will tell you everything that is happening here. My fellow prisoner, Aristarchus, sends you his greetings, as does Mark, the cousin of Barnabas. You have received instructions about him. If he comes to you, welcome him. Jesus, who is called Justice, also sends greetings. These are the only Jews among my fellow workers for the kingdom of God, and they have proved a comfort to me. Epaphras, who is one of you and a servant of Christ Jesus, sends greetings. He is always wrestling in prayer for you, that you may stand firm in all the will of God, mature and fully assured. I vouch for him that he is working hard for you and for those at Laodicea and Hierapolis. Our dear friend Luke, the doctor, and Demas send greetings. Give my greetings to the brothers and sisters at Laodicea, and to Nympha and the church in her house. After this letter has been read to you, see that it is also read in the church of the Laodiceans, and that you in turn read the letter from Laodicea. Tell Archippus, see to it that you complete the work that you have received in the Lord. I, Paul, write this greeting in my own hand. Remember my chains. Grace be with you. Amen.
So we're coming to the end of our study of this letter that Paul wrote to the church at Colossae. And I wanted to just to remind you of some of the main theme of this letter. Remember that people had come into the church and they had moved the focus of the Christians there. And instead of the Christians focusing on Jesus Christ alone, they had suggested that there were other things that you really needed to do to be a true follower of Christ. Physical things, rituals, and that if you were not doing these things, then there was something really lacking in your Christian life and your Christian experience. And Paul wrote this letter primarily to bring their focus right back on what it should be. And it's so easy, isn't it? You know, when you're focusing on something, just to get distracted. It happens so easily. It happens in our daily lives, but it can happen so easily in our Christian lives and in the life of the church. And it's happened so easily for Hartford Baptist Church that our focus shifts. And Paul says, your focus needs to be in one place and one place only. So the main themes were, Jesus Christ is supreme. If you have your Bibles open, if you look back into Colossians chapter 1 and verse 15, it reminds us, the Son is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For in him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities, all things have been created through him and for him. He is over all things. He created all things, and he holds all things together. Without him, the atoms, the molecules that make up your body would disintegrate, fly apart. He holds all things together. And that there is no power, no creature, no authority above him. He is absolutely supreme. And as the focus stayed on Jesus Christ, he also reminds them in Colossians chapter 2 that Christ is all we need. That his sacrifice is all that we need for our salvation. That it is through faith in him alone that we are forgiven and that we come into a relationship with a holy God. And it is only through Jesus Christ's work that we can call God our Father. Nothing else is needed. Nothing at all. No rules, no regulations, no rituals, no self-help manuals. Jesus Christ is all that we need. I know you've heard that before. I hope you've heard it many times, and Paul certainly is not sorry to remind you and me again, because we so easily forget. He then continues the focus on Jesus Christ. He says, Christ, as Christ fills our hearts and our minds, we can get rid of those ugly things in chapter 3, those things that shouldn't be part of our lives, those things that still control us so easily, lust, evil desires, greed, anger, malice, lies. That instead, as we allow Jesus Christ to fill our hearts and our minds, that we can clothe ourselves with things like compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. And over everything else, he says, put on love. And that it is Christ's peace that should rule us. And then after that, we read in how that as Christ rules our lives, he impacts our families, he impacts the way that we behave one to another in our family life, in our work life. So this is the focus of the letter, and it is so important for us that we focus on Jesus Christ. And then, having said all of this incredibly important stuff, Paul then comes back to one of his abiding passions. His abiding passion was to share the gospel with everybody he possibly could, all those that he came into contact with. But he wanted every opportunity possible to share the good news with others. So having placed the emphasis fully on Jesus Christ, he now wants to share that with others, even though Paul is actually chained up at this particular time. Despite that, he still wants to share the message. And so this morning, just for a few minutes now, I want to look at the first part of chapter 4. And what he first of all says is, pray for opportunities for us. So he's obviously praying, asking them to pray for him, Timothy, and for others that are with him. Pray for opportunities. Do you do this? Do I do this? When did I last ask God to give me an opportunity to talk to somebody else, to share the gospel, to share the good news? Lord, I don't know who I'm going to meet this day, but please give me an opportunity. And then when that opportunity comes, we need God's help to recognize that opportunity and to make the most of it. I don't know if you're like me. I wonder how many times you look back on a day or on a week and you regret. You think, I really had a chance there to speak to somebody and I let it go. And so we need to recognize those opportunities when they come. Isn't it amazing that Paul, even though he's chained up, is still asking for opportunities? And Paul used his chains as an opportunity to speak to others. I'm sure the guards that were around him heard a lot about Jesus Christ. And then he says, be wise. In chapter 4 and verse 5, he says, be wise in the way you act toward outsiders, making the most of opportunities. So what does he mean by that? I think he's just saying, be real and be honest. People will see through us and see through you and me if they think we've just got an agenda, if it's that we're not really interested in them. And I don't know if maybe you've met people like that. So be open, honest, and use those opportunities and be topical. And I didn't hear, but remember, for instance, when Paul was in Athens, he was sort of stuck there, really, for a while. And you can imagine him, and I can just imagine him saying, Lord, give me an opportunity. And as he walks through the city, he notices that there are idols everywhere. And what he does is he notices one particular idol that says to the unknown God. And he uses that as an opportunity to speak to those around him. So he knows what's happening. He's aware of what's going on around him. He uses their poets as an opportunity to speak to them. And so we need to be aware. And this is a real struggle for me. I'm not what you call a people person, but if we're going to share our story and our message, we need to be interested in people. We need to know what it is that interests them and use those wisely. So Paul says, pray for opportunities. Use those opportunities and use them wisely. So what about actually telling the story? Here Paul also says, pray for me that I will proclaim the message clearly. So we need to be simple and clear. He talks about the mystery of Christ. And mystery wasn't something about just something that was being mysterious. It just meant something that had not yet been revealed. And for people, the gospel will be a complete mystery. They will not understand it. And what we need to do is to remember that Satan seeks to blind people to the truth. Things that have become so obvious to us will not necessarily be obvious to them. And so Paul talks elsewhere about the gospel being foolishness. It will sound foolishness. It will sound foolish to those that we seek to speak to. But we need to remember. Perhaps, have you ever practiced telling your story, telling the gospel very simply? I know that we have done this in our home groups at times during the studies, and it's something really good to do. It's not about learning some sort of technique, but it's just about very simply being able to give your testimony, explaining, and in chapter he talked about being able to answer anyone. Now, this is not about us all becoming theologians, but this is being sure of our faith, of why we believe in Jesus Christ, of what he's done in our lives, and being able to explain very simply to someone. So practice telling your story to somebody. And very importantly, be clear that we don't add hurdles. Do you remember, coming back to the theme of Colossians, what was it that Paul was writing the letter for? Because people had come along and said, yes, it's really good that you believe in Jesus Christ, but you also need to do this and this and this and something else. And Paul said, no, no, no. And so when we are seeking to tell others about Jesus Christ, we need to be very careful that we don't fall into the trap of making things difficult in any way for people. Throughout the whole of the scriptures and the New Old Testament, it's all about through faith. In Romans chapter 8, Paul says, it is by faith alone. That it is by confessing that we believe in Jesus Christ. Nothing else. So, what is it that we are seeking to do? Can I suggest that we're not seeking to make Baptists? That we're not seeking to be a recruitment drive for Hartford Baptist Church? That things like baptism and coming into a church and becoming a member and meeting around communion, there are very important things that help build our faith. But these are not things that are necessary for somebody to come into a living relationship with God. So our message needs to be very clear and simple. It is through faith in Jesus Christ alone. And then finally, get the balance right. And I suggest it means erring on the side of grace. What is it that Paul says? He says this, let your conversation be always full of grace, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how to answer everyone. So what does that actually mean? Your conversation should be full of grace, seasoned with salt. I suggest that it means that everything that we say, our motivation should be compassion, should be love. It may be that we will find ourselves in a situation when we might have an opportunity and find ourselves challenging somebody about their lifestyle. That sounds very arrogant, doesn't it? What right have I got to challenge the way somebody's living, what they're doing with their lives? I think one of the things that we can do is to follow the example of Jesus Christ. What was it that Jesus did when he met individuals? He challenged those who thought they were okay. So the religious leaders who thought they were okay, the rulers who thought they were okay, these people who'd had so many opportunities to hear and know the truth, and Jesus challenged them. But for those who were in a mess, for those who knew that they had a need, for those who were on the margins, for those who had failed, he showed grace and compassion. And I think that's what we should do. Our message should be full of grace, but there needs to be an element of truth in there. So it may be that we will challenge somebody about the way they live, about their motivation, about their standards. But always we should be full of grace and compassion. So, all authority was given into the hands of Jesus Christ. We've read that. And yet, amazingly, Jesus gives us, you and me, the task of spreading the gospel, of telling the good news. And he's given Hartford Baptist Church that task. He's given the church that task, given you and me. There's no other plan, no other way. And we're not to leave it to the professionals. We're not to leave it to people like Michael here. I'm sure he wouldn't say he's a professional, but I know that Michael has this great passion, and God has given him the gifting and the ability to preach out the gospel. But we don't leave the task to Michael. And as Dave comes and leads us, it's not his job, it's your job and mine. And so we need the same passion that Paul had to share the truth and to share the gospel. You remember that Jesus asked the disciples at one point, he said, are you going to leave me? Are you going to stay with me? And the disciples said, who else could we go to? You have the words of life. And amazingly, Jesus has given us those words of life. No, we cannot change people, but we can share those words that will be life for them. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you for this letter that we can read and study, that we've been looking at over the last few weeks. We thank you that it really focuses our minds and our hearts on you. We thank you that you are supreme, that you are preeminent. We thank you that our faith is resting in you alone, nothing else. That it is only through your sacrifice on the cross that our sins are forgiven, that we come into this living relationship with you. But Lord, we're amazed that you have given people like us the job of sharing this good news with all those around us, with those outside the doors of this building, for those that we meet day by day. And so we ask that you would indeed give us opportunities to share. And Lord, that with your power and your strength, that we will take up those opportunities that you give us. Help us to be truthful. Help us to be clear with all those that we meet. And Lord, we pray indeed that your gospel will be proclaimed in this place. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.